Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Moon, Moore, and You. Now it's called Kate Loving and the Collective. My name is Kate Loving Shank, and our guest this evening is Ava Wheats. Ava is a healer who lives in the Boston, Massachusetts area, and we will be discussing healing our animals with light and sound, as well as food, good food, organic food, prayer, and meditation. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. And joining me now is Ava Wheat. Hello, dear Ava.
Hi, Kate. How are you doing today?
Great. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
I need to turn down my volume because suddenly something very strange occurred. It's very important to turn down the volume on your computer just in case there's an echo. It kind of prevents that. But anyway, I know that we had a wonderful conversation last evening about healing animals, healing ourselves, healing other people. And I'm firmly convinced that there isn't really such a thing as a cure, but there's a lot of healing, and we can learn a lot from each other on how to, well, I think it's also as we do all of this healing, we're healing the planet too.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. So tell us and tell me and your audience what kind of healing that you do.
I'm not sure I would even call it healing. I would call it facilitating someone being in balance, because when they are in balance, they'll heal themselves.
Absolutely.
And it's been 35 years of a journey. I realized as an RN that you really are just dealing with symptoms when you're giving people medications, et cetera, and decided that it was time to find alternative, non-invasive ways to do the same. And so That's what I set out on a journey to do. And the thing that fascinated me was how to use color and sound, which is basically the same thing, as healing modalities. So that's what I've spent the last 35, 36 years doing.
That's pretty cool. And
yeah,
as you mentioned last evening, that really we are balancing, as you just said, instead of, people always say about boosting the immune system, but you mentioned that there's the difference between boosting the immune system and balancing the immune system, and I think that's quite a difference.
It's a big difference. People definitely think they're supposed to boost their immune system all the time, where you can be in a hyper-immune state, which brings on allergies and all other kinds of symptomology. I learned this from my clients, watching my clients, and actually watching my dogs as well. But to balance your immune system is one thing. To boost it is another. And when you have a hyper-immune state, you can make yourself just as sick as if you were in a hypo-immune state.
Well, that makes sense.
Yes. And one of the things about color and sound is that it wants to bring the body into a balanced state so that your own body, or your fur baby's body, can balance itself out and get well. If you need herbs, if you need homeopathy, if you need other things to balance out the electrical system, it's kind of the same thing as color and sound, except that there's no real, you know, acupuncture needles or anything. It's just all about the sound itself, because sound equals color, and color equals sound. For people who do any kind of attunement work or energy work. They know about chakras. And the color system that I used is based on something called the Darius Dinshaw method. And I had been doing this for maybe 15 years before I started to understand how it really worked.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the color work that I have seen, or the writing about it, he's probably the head guru of color healing.
And his name again?
His name is Darius Dinshaw, D-I-N-S-H-A-W. Most of his books are, he's not with us anymore. He's on the other side. But his sons carry on, and they're down in New Jersey, in Malaga, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And some of his books you can still get, and some of them you can't. But the ones that I do have, there's some like practitioner-level books, and then there's things that are very simple for anybody who wants to apply this.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of the chakras is a color. But each color is a vibration or a sound. So as I started learning about this, I started to think about why martial artists make sounds when they're breaking things. Because it seemed ridiculous to me to go around doing that just to do that. And as I learned more about moving energy or chi, I realized that if you make the sound vocally of the color, you can actually double the impression and the balance that's going on. So
sound, yeah.
Yeah. I have tuning forks that I bought maybe 35 years ago, and they're tuned to the chakras, but they basically only do the physical body. Toning, which is done vocally with your voice, does all of the bodies, physical, mental, spiritual, etheric, etc. So when you're doing this, it made more sense to me to do it vocally. And I have a singing background, and some of the sounds were actually very difficult to learn to make. But once you learn them and feel what comes out of your hands when you're doing this, you can feel all different types of vibrations when you're doing this type of attunement work.
Wow. And that is so cool.
It is cool. It's very cool. And I've never met anybody that didn't have some kind of a response to it. Sometimes it's 24 hours later, and they'll call me up and say, wow, I thought it hit me yesterday, but today it's even more intense. And the charge from that kind of an attunement, of the electrical or chi charge, lasts about, I would say, a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then it starts to kind of slow down. It's like a battery that starts to run down again. And if somebody's very low on energy or chi in their bodies, it will sometimes take me 4 or 6 attunement sessions before they're even up even. And I have CDs that I made because I felt like, okay, if somebody's, I mean, obviously they're not going to come here every day, so how do I keep the charge up? So we went into the studio and we made 3 CDs, and the one that I use when I'm doing the attunements, we do them live and Memorex, I give anybody that comes for their first attunement gets a copy of this.
Mm-hmm.
And they find it very useful to keep the charge up in their body. And colors, the Darius Dinshaw method has 13 colors in it. Yes, and each one of them is a chakra color, and then there's the additional ones that he uses to tonify certain segments of the body and equilibrate, like to, if you're using scarlet or if you're using hot colors, you would want to, after you do that, you'd want to balance somebody out with green. You wouldn't just want to heat the body up like that. You'd want to heat it up and move whatever needs to move, or cool it down and move whatever needs to move, then balance it out. So the whole thing about this is not to increase and decrease and increase and decrease. Again, we're talking about balancing. So the heart is the balancer. The heart is where we feel all things. When you're feeling,
well, that's the color,
up,
and that's the color
green.
Yes,
it would be like a Kelly green. Mm-hmm. There are different, the gels that are used, the colors that are used, there's specific color gels that I had to send away for.
Mm-hmm.
I had to send away to New York for these things. And they had so many requests from people doing the Dinshaw method that they actually have Dinshaw packages. And I think they were about $100 or something. And it's not any big deal. And if you have any kind of intuitive healing sense, you'd pretty much know how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really wanted to get specific, Dinshaw was able to heal burns, broken limbs. He led a pretty interesting life. The government went after him for many, many years and wouldn't allow
mm-hmm.
him to sell his healing machines to hospitals or to
mm-hmm.
doctors. And even
and,
now, they don't allow
yeah.
it. So they tell you how to make your own.
Well, that makes
that,
sense.
That was interesting. That was kind of a journey doing that.
mm-hmm, that's great.
You know, my cellar's rather odd. It has some very interesting things down there. But the color and sound stuff has really been an amazing journey. I use it on my aunt, my dogs.
Mm-hmm.
My friends were all guinea pigs for a long time. I had an interesting experience with a very good friend of mine who fell climbing, and he fell about 35 feet. By the grace of God, all he was black and blue. He didn't break anything, but he
mm-hmm.
sure was black and blue, and he was very, very sore. So we came over, and I was going through my Dinshaw book, and it said to apply the orange gel. So I said, boy, this will be a test for this.
Mm-hmm.
And I hooked him up, and 2 days later, almost all of the ecchymosis, the black and blue, was gone.
Oh, my, that's wonderful.
Wow. If you really studied this and really, really, really knew what you were doing and had access to all of his tools way back when, I'm sure you could probably attune most things
mm-hmm.
with no problem. And I find
yeah.
his books fascinating. He was from India, and some of the way that he wrote is a little confusing. So until you kind of understand what he's writing, it can be a little confusing. But
right.
you can still get most of this information from New Jersey, from his sons, and they still have a center down there. And there are a lot more people interested in this than I ever had any idea.
Mm-hmm.
I got into it through the sound end, Kate. And
right.
then I started to understand that sound was color.
Yes, that's something that I've never really quite... I can understand it, though. Intuitively, I understand what that means.
Yes, because it vibrates. Each color vibrates at a certain rate.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Dinshaw books, they literally give you which tone equals which color.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started
mm-hmm.
to think, gee, if you could do them both at the same time, that would be, I would assume that you'd come into balance much more quickly.
Yes, that would kind of increase the force field.
Yes, and it's just like, you know when you get those clip-on lights?
Mm-hmm.
If you say you're drawing or whatever?
Yes.
Seeing as I paint and stuff, I had all these clip-on lights, and I just take these gels and use clothespins and clip them on the end of the clip-on lights.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you need, you know, all this equipment to do this. All
right.
you need is your voice and the gels and a clip-on light.
Mm-hmm.
The gels cost me more than anything else that I bought.
Mm-hmm.
And every person can kind of know what colors they like. I use crystals, too, which is the same. It's the same basic thing. Crystals are colors for a reason. Foods are colors for a reason. You pick what you wear during the day for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
That's how juicing works. When you juice all these carrots and papayas and all this orange stuff, it's living orange light for the first 20 minutes. And that's why they always tell you, drink that juice fast.
So it stays,
yeah.
So the colors are, gotcha.
It pulls that color right out of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole thing about not wanting to be in the sun, I don't get this. I think it's very beneficial to lay in the sun for a certain amount of time.
I think so, too. My gosh, you get your vitamin D, but you get the full spectrum of light.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not telling you to lay out there till you're a crispy critter, but it definitely works. And I use this on my dog. I've used this on my friends. I've used this on my clients. And it's so interesting to me how intense it is. Mm-hmm. And doing it is as intense as the person laying there because you're making the tones. You can even put a small glass of water, distilled water, because that's inert. It has no charge, next to the light when you're doing a color tonation, and it will accept that color into the water, and you can bathe in it and drink it.
Oh, and get the even a more maximum effect.
Yes.
That is so beautiful.
It is, and it's so simple. And there's such interesting information in his book, like stained glass windows. Back in medieval times, they used to bring very sick people into the churches, and they would lay them down in the light of the stained glass windows. And
oh, isn't that beautiful?
People would get better, and it would be a miracle.
that is just wonderful.
The body always wants to heal.
Mm-hmm.
If you give it what it needs, it will get better.
And all the mind, body, spirit works together. So that whole little simple thing of using not a tuning fork, but your voice.
Yes.
That's those little simple things that adjust. And I certainly think that you use your intuition a lot of times to figure out how the spiritual can be elevated.
Yes.
And, yeah.
Toning, to me, is one of the easiest ways to boost your consciousness on the planet. And you don't need to learn anything. If you can hum, you're toning.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to sit in any position. You don't have to know anything. You just kind of listen in your head to the sound that either you hear or make a sound that feels correct for you. And if you do this 15 to 20 minutes a day, you will definitely see a change in your consciousness level. Now, it takes 30 to 60 days before you see anything massive, but after doing this for 20 minutes, you'll definitely feel something. There's no doubt about that. I had a friend that used to research this with me, and she was a doctor, but a PhD doctor at Harvard Medical School.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked me if I would come in and talk. She taught them physiology and anatomy at Harvard Medical School. She was the nicest lady. And she said, just come in and talk to them for a while. Well, I was, like, intimidated because I'm an RN, you know what I mean? And this is Harvard Medical School. But I decided, well, I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to bring my little boombox, and I'm going to bring my CD that I use when I do my attunements. And I'm going to go in there, and instead of allowing them to be in their heads, I'm going to ask them to give it a shot and be the experiment.
Mm-hmm.
So after the 20-minute CD was over, because that's how long an attunement is, it's like 22 minutes, I think, the questions were so different because they weren't in their heads.
Ah, lovely.
They were in their hearts and in their spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And every one of them sitting there would say, wow, I mean, I don't know what just happened, but I know something happened.
Right.
And I said, well, try doing it for 30 days and see what happens. Be the experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And
how about musical instruments? Musical instruments, like, say, the violin or different ones, might be better than others.
They only work on the physical body, like the tuning forks.
Ah, thank you. Okay.
They're profound, and they do that. I had a friend of mine, Daniel Kobielka, who's a famous violinist, and he's really a great guy. He's so much fun. And he said to me, oh, Ava, I don't know if I could tone. I'd feel really weird doing that. And I said, Daniel, you have a tonation instrument next to your ear all day long.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? And he said, I never thought of a violin or a cello or anything like that like the bowls and those things, but they only do the physical body.
Well, let me tell you this one interesting experience. We were at a beachfront property one time just for a few days, and I had my violin, and you know Yogananda, Paramahansa Yogananda, he has some beautiful chants. So I played one of his chants on my violin out the window, and suddenly 200 dolphins came out just from nowhere. So I think that was really cool. And then when I stopped playing, when I stopped playing, they just dispersed. And then I played so that my husband could run down and swim with the dolphins, which worked. That was very cool. Yeah.
Well, tones are tones are tones. I mean, that's how the ley lines are activated in the earth, the dolphins and the whales, you know, flying around doing their tones. And one of the funny things is kids will say, "You sound like whales." I said, "Yes, we do. Do you want to sound like whales?" And adults are a little iffy sometimes. If you say to an adult, "We're going to balance out your heart, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that," they go, "Well, Abe, that would be so nice. I really would like that." But when you say that to a child, they go, "Okay." So we have all these preconceived ideas in our brains and in our patterning in our brains about what we can actually do in our reality. And that's one of the things that this moves, because toning moves. Because once you do it, you know it's doing something.
Yes. Yeah.
You might not know what it's doing, but you know it's doing something, and it feels correct. And all you have to do is hum if you feel weird doing the rest of it, which is the reason that we did the CDs, because people feel very strange sitting around, you know, making all these noises because it's not in their reality frame. It's odd.
Yes. Now, would you recommend humming the scale, a scale?
I would say to you, don't think about what you're going to do. Just do it.
Okay. Yeah. Because, you know, as you know, we were talking, I have a sick dog who is getting better, but he does have cancer. And so I know that the Christian Scientists don't like to use that word, but just for a way of communication, I think that humming, he loves music. When my husband and I play music, I play the violin and Tom plays the guitar and sings. He loves that. He loves that. I think that he loves the singing.
Yes,
so
they like the vibration.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Bubba loves that. My dog loves
that. Fun. This is really fun to think about humming and singing and bringing him back into balance with that. But I wanted to tell you very quickly what I did with Ulysses last evening, which my friend Joan, who had been hosting the show with me up until the 1st of January, had told me before to do, and I hadn't done it until last night, which was I tucked him in and put a blanket around him and then put a note on his blanket from his angel, from his guardian angel.
Yeah.
And I just spontaneously wrote, something. It wasn't like, "Please heal my dog, please don't let him die," or anything stupid like that. It was, you know, "Please wrap your healing wings around Ulysses and pour love into his heart and help him to heal," and that sort of thing. And today he's been 100% better.
Yes, because you're setting the intention. One of the things about toning when you start or doing the color and sound thing is that you're just kind of doing it. You're doing it intuitively. Then after a while, you get the idea that intention boosts whatever you're doing. So instead of just thinking to myself, "Okay, I need to do rose color on this because this really needs that color," or "I need this sound, I really need this tone for here," I set the intention on top of those two things that this being needs balance. And I really like angels. I have an affinity for angels.
Yes.
And I adore them and have contact with a lot of them. Some of whom drive me out of my mind because they just never stop talking about healing work. They don't sleep at night. I like to, however. I'm laughing, Kate. Bubba just, I was making the noises, and Bub just put himself to bed.
Oh, how sweet. Give him a kiss for me.
Oh, he's so cute. He's a little Westie. And I think that any being any animal, any being on this planet can be brought into balance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with humans, their thought patterns get in the way. So what happens is they get into balance, then they go right back to the habit of what they were thinking before that got them there in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And so they snap right back into that. After a while, they learn that that's not helpful.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's a habit. It's like biting your nails. You have to
start
doing it gradually. And you don't wake up overnight, like, figuring all of this out. It took me 35 years.
Yes. It's
and
a process.
I feel like I'm just starting.
Mm-hmm.
I feel, as one of my favorite angels, Jidge, would say, stupid people don't know they're stupid because they think that they know everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know what they don't know. And smart people think they're dumb because they know what they don't know.
Yes. Is that what your angel says? One
all
of your
time.
Angels.
Yeah. Her name is Jidge, G-I-G. And she's my main portal to the other side.
Nice.
And, yeah. She was the first angel I saw. I had a near-death experience. And it opened a door to 5D, if that's what you want to call it. I'd
mm-hmm.
call it the other side, or another dimension, whatever you want to call it. And when I came back, it was like being in two places at once.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very disconcerting for a short period of time until I figured out how to function.
Yeah.
But that door was left open. So all these angels, they talk to everybody. It's just that people deny that they do that because it scares them.
Mm-hmm.
Or they think, why would they want to talk to me?
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
God gave everyone on this planet and in the multiverse their own angel.
A multiverse. That's beautiful. I love that word.
Well, this isn't all there is. Trust me when I tell you that.
Oh, of course I know that, yes.
And if people knew what it was like to pass over, no one would be afraid. They'd all want to go there.
Right, right. Well, you know, everybody who has these near-death or afterlife experiences, I shouldn't say every one of them, but so many of them have these other senses open up.
Yes, the angels call it synesthesia, and that's an actual word, which means you can hear smells and smell light, and it's a very odd thing to deal with when you're not used to it. After
mm-hmm.
you get used to it, you don't think anything about it.
Right.
But I used to think all the time in the beginning when this happened to me, why did this happen to me? I'm not like an especially religious, you know, wonderful human being, I don't think. I don't think I'm any better than anybody else, and I don't know why God would send this gift to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I soon learned that probably everybody's going to get offered this same experience.
Mm-hmm.
And when people
mm-hmm.
talk about shifting, I'm not sure they understand that everyone, no matter who, will get offered the light. And whether they accept it or not is entirely up to them, because the whole deal here is free will.
Yes.
So you get to choose whether you want to be a light being or not. And when you make that choice, it's done. And when it's done, you then start your round of lessons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't call them challenges. I call them lessons and experiences, because I don't think that they're challenging. I think they're just supposed to teach you something. And if you get it the first time, great. And if you don't,
mm-hmm.
it'll be in your face until you get it.
Sure.
And that to be in balance, you have to feel all your feelings, not just the ones that you like.
Yes.
Not just the ones that you're comfortable with.
Right.
All of them. And as they come through your body, you can not only assist in your own healing, but you can assist in Mother Earth's healing. You can act like a reverse battery to move some of this crap that needs to move.
Right.
And Lord knows, if you're watching the news or reading anything, you know there's plenty of things going on right now that need some balancing out.
That's for sure.
Yeah, and water force, each one of the forces, fire, air, water, earth, each one of those forces handles different things in the body. Now, with the ocean being the way it is, we're dealing with emotions, energy motions. And what's happening on this planet right now is all geomagnetic. as far as I'm concerned,
mm-hmm.
and the oceans being the way they are, is all about the emotions that go on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
Hatred, judgment, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
All of this, all of these things in a group collective consciousness with wars going on and hatred going on and shooting going on and all these things that everybody that's genuinely trying to be conscious and do the right thing, they're just sitting there going, Ava, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Well, maybe we'll get to a place where everyone will go, what's my part in this?
Oh, I think you're right. Everybody has to take personal responsibility for all of it. It's not out there. It's in here. It's the inside is out. The outside is in.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
No. And I really believe, you know, blaming anything or anybody is counterintuitive.
Well,
I understand that there's something happening too, where all of this negativity and all of these things are being revealed to us.
So that
there is a transformation that is due to take place, starting or actually not starting, but evolving towards 2012. And just
I think it's already happening, Kate.
Yes, it's happening, and something very unusual will keep happening as we go into the mid-teens of this next decade.
Well, you know, birds dropping dead out of the sky.
Yeah.
You know, cattle dropping dead in herds.
Yes.
There's obviously something going on.
Yeah. That is disturbing, but maybe it isn't. It could be that we are drilling for natural gas here in the state of Pennsylvania as an example.
Yep.
And that kind of thing is releasing a lot of toxins into the atmosphere. And I'm wondering if that isn't somewhat responsible.
Well, it's physically responsible in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they cracked the floor of the earth down in the Gulf. It's physically responsible. But for whatever goes on in 3D, there's something going on in 5D, the fifth dimension where your spirit is.
Yeah.
That part of you that God gave you, your God presence.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing is going on in a different way in all the other dimensions.
Yes.
So as it happens in 5D, it comes down into the hologram of 3D, because that's what we are, with physical holograms of the light that gets projected down from our Holy Spirit. That's why we're a rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
So as that comes down, if there's something going on in your spirit, your electrical, the part of you that's electrical, it may take a while to get into your body, but it will eventually cause dis-ease.
Yeah.
And when that happens, you get sick.
Mm-hmm.
Like I told you about Ulysses and his poor pee-pee there.
Mm-hmm.
Red light, because red light handles all the sexual organs and the kidneys. And the kidneys are the engines of the body.
Mm-hmm.
So once they get depleted or they're diseased, you're going to get some kind of illness. It's going to manifest eventually in the physical form, which is how it reverses it as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've used myself as a guinea pig for this. I had Crohn's disease, and every doctor in the universe kept telling me, there's no cure for this. You're just going to get sicker and sicker and die. I said, I don't think so.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Maybe in your reality.
Right
and
on.
I used all alternative medicine and herbs and supplements and got better.
And
now, it didn't happen overnight, but it happened.
Yeah.
And I haven't had a bit of it for almost 6-7 years now.
Mm.
And so my whole feeling about healing yourself is any drug the doctor's going to give you was made from some plant or something anyway. So why not go straight to the source and use the living thing that they're making the drugs out of?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything wrong with Western medicine. I think that you have to know when to use what.
Oh, and it's not an exclusive thing. I mean, we need to use what we have as gifts from the multi multiverse.
Multiverse, yes.
Yes. I love that word. I'm totally into it. And
when I was learning about this, I knew there was at least two or three dimensions that, like, nobody really knew about. And I think each chakra represents one of those, one of the portals to each one of those multiverses, the levels of the multiverse. Mm-hmm. Now, the red chakra, if it's out of balance, you're going to do fear. You're going to lose. You're probably going to have bleeding. You may have sexual dysfunction. When it's in balance, you get creativity. You get right use of will. You can create what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be able to see that in your third eye when you're meditating in order to access the red ray.
Yeah.
And then the next one up is orange. And orange does loads of things, but one of the main things it does is old emotions. So the things that we stuff down get stuck in the orange chakra. And when you come up to the next one, you're at the yellow chakra. And the yellow chakra is present emotions. It's things that are going on right now.
The solar plexus,
Yes, your belly button. The next one up is heart. And when that's in balance, basically it's the thing that's in the middle that equilibrates the bottom four chakras, which are the mother chakras, and the top four chakras, which are the father chakras. So the father and the mother converge in the heart. The left side of the body is the love side. The right side is the power side. If you come up to the next chakra at your throat, the fifth chakra, that's blue, this is how you communicate. Right below that fifth chakra is your fifth dimensional chakra. So when you're activated in additional dimensions and become more and more conscious, you end up activating that, and you can actually feel it pulsing. It's kind of where your thymus gland is.
Yeah.
A little bit above your thymus gland, that little gland that sticks out on your bone there, your chest bone there. I don't want to get too technical medically because I want everybody to understand because I'm an RN.
Yes. So am I, by the way.
You are? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. And I'm also very much into homeopathy, as you are.
Yes.
I firmly believe in homeopathy. I believe homeopathy helped me save my life with Crohn's because I was extremely ill. And I use whatever I need to use that's energetic medicine to fix anything. I choose not to take Western medicine. I just think that there's too many side effects for me. And I think the cleaner your body gets, like if you're eating organic food and all this, you can't take it. I can't take that stuff. It makes me really ill. If there's a side effect to be had, I'll get it. Now, if I needed something like antibiotics, I'm not an idiot. I'd go get them.
Yes.
If I fell down and broke my arm, I would go use my lights and then I'd go get my arm set.
Right.
It's not that I wouldn't go in, but if somebody said to me, you have cancer and you need chemotherapy, I'd be like, not in this lifetime.
Absolutely not. No.
No vaccines in this body. Don't even ask me. I'm not taking them. And by the grace of God, the angel sent me a practitioner. My primary care practitioner is a nurse who's into naturopathy and homeopathy.
Right.
So she just laughs and reads these things off. Are you going to go get a mammogram? Not. Are you going to go get a colonoscopy? Not. Now, if you're having problems, I think you should go look into it. Go have a mammogram.
Yeah, if people feel comfortable doing these things, they should do
them.
Go
right ahead.
And you and I aren't telling anybody what to do. Not at all.
I only speak from my own reality, and that's
it. Yes, absolutely. Me too.
But this body does not do those things.
No, I can't take I don't even drink alcohol.
No, I drink no alcohol. I never really did. I just found it. Every time I drank alcohol, I threw up. My liver didn't like it.
Right.
And so you have to follow your own heart. That's why when you're balanced and you have your own consciousness and your own spirit is speaking to you, you can't go wrong. If you're following what other people are telling you, what are you going to do if they're not there? And besides,
exactly.
What's right for them may not be right for you.
Yeah, so true. It really points to people taking the advice of other people and superseding their own inner guidance.
I agree with that. And I get very nervous when people are telling me that all the information they're getting is coming from channelers. There's nothing wrong with channelers. But how do you know that person's clear?
Yes.
How do you know who they're talking to on the other side?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that makes me nervous. And what happens if the channeler decides they don't want to do that anymore? What happens if you need information and because you've been following what other people are telling you? Because if you do that, you're sending your spirit the signal, I do not trust what you're telling me. I go to somebody else to get my information. Well, your spirit loves you. It wants to give you everything that you feel fascinated with. So if you're sitting there going, oh, I'm going to follow this one and I'm going to follow that one, it doesn't work. Even if the angels gave me information, I would still ask my own Holy Spirit, is this what's in my best interest?
Right.
And I was given a prayer, the Kadosh, it's Hebrew, it's Kadosh, 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 Adonai, Savayoth. And when you say that, when you're contacted by anything, you say that prayer. And that being that's contacting you, or whatever, will either say it with you or go away fast.
And say that again, the
Kadosh,
prayer.
Kadosh, 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 Adonai Sabayoth. And that prayer is not protection. The idea of protection in your reality will draw attack.
There's
nothing that your spirit needs to be protected from. If you believe that your Holy Spirit is a piece of God, that God sent you, your Holy Spirit, do you really believe there's anything that God is afraid of, that God cannot uncreate?
Mm-hmm.
Kate, I had the nicest woman when I started doing this say to me, Ava, you should pray for protection. Well, it sounded like a good idea. I mean, I didn't know, right?
Yes.
Why start saying these protection prayers? Well, I'd never been attacked before.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I sure got attacked after I started doing that.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah, and
very
I stopped doing that really fast. I said to the angels, what is that about? They said, well, if you walk around thinking you need protection, you better ask yourself from what?
Beautiful.
Yeah. And people are not doing this out of anything but ignorance.
Yes.
I followed. You see, I didn't do that, but my brain, which is a computer in your body, you only get back from your brain what you put in there. And if there's erroneous information, that's all your brain can present to you. Your Holy Spirit will tell you anything you need to know when you need to know it.
Yes. Yes.
Now, this, again, this is only my own experience.
Of
the last 35 years of doing this.
Well, it makes sense that we create our own reality, and the whole idea of protection is you're creating a need for protection, and
that
you're defensive.
Here's a funny story that will explain that even better. I had the most wonderful client, Rena Katz, that I just loved to bits. She was one of the funniest women I ever met in my life, Kate. I would be laughing just knowing she was coming in my house. She was, I don't know, she was just hysterical. So she came in. She was a big lady. And she said to me, Abe, I really need to lose weight. My legs are killing me, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay. We're going to say, I am divine balance. So I write this down for Rena. She leaves. She continues to lose weight at a very, very, very slow rate. Finally, after about 4 months, I notice she's putting weight back on.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Rena, what are you doing? Are you saying that thing? She said, I lost the paper. I said, well, what are you saying? She said, I go in and I go, I am continuing to lose weight. I said, Rena, you have to continue to be fat to continue to lose weight.
Yeah.
And she just laughed and laughed. And that was a really good lesson for me about the sacred word, the sword of God, the blue ray that comes out of your throat.
Mm-hmm.
You need
mm-hmm.
to be very careful what you go around saying.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Because you can create things that you had no meaning to create. That wasn't what you meant to create.
Right.
But that's
what
you're actively creating.
Not to bring it down to a level of what is going on in the world, but there has been a national dialogue and discussion about, do words have power?
Obviously,
and of course,
so.
Obviously, we think so, but there's a poll that's been taking place where people don't really believe that the words of the hateful pundits and that the crosshairs that were put over Gifford's congressional area, that had nothing to do with what happened. And,
well,
you know,
let's put it this way. What
yeah.
did Jesus use? What did Buddha use? What did Gandhi use?
Love.
They all used words. And if words mean nothing, why does the Bible have such meaning? Why
mm-hmm.
do books have such meaning?
Yes.
Why does what
yes.
we're doing right now have any meaning?
Yeah. Yes. It's there's a lot of meaning to how words are placed together. They can either make you feel good or they can make you feel very anxious. Or,
and there has to be
or neutral.
Intention behind it.
Yes. Yes.
Intention plays a huge part in this, because I can say to you, well, you know I really love you, and you can feel that that's a loving vibration. If I say to you, well, you know I really love you, that's
mm-hmm.
a whole nother deal. So words
yes.
do matter, but intention and vibration behind them matters.
Yes.
That's why
yes.
if you're BSing somebody, the intention is there. Like, I might not know what you're lying about, but I'm telling
mm-hmm.
you right now, I know when you're lying.
Yes.
Because
yes.
the vibration of truth is different than the vibration of lying.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And being an expert in vibration, I get it.
Yeah. It's something that I think almost everybody can feel.
And the whole concept, Kate, of you need to believe like I believe. And I don't care if it's some love and lighter. No
mm-hmm.
one
mm-hmm.
needs to believe what somebody else believes. And it's
none
of your business. And you cannot expect anything from anybody. Expectation is a big no-no.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you have no right to expect anything. If you do something for somebody because you love them, that's one thing. If you do something for somebody because you expect something back, that's another whole thing. You get a blessing from doing the former, and you get nothing from doing the latter, except your
right.
karma.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't really care what other people do or what they think or what they say, because they get their own karma. I could care less. It means nothing to me.
Right.
If somebody comes here and they're deathly ill and they tell me they want to go have chemotherapy, and what do I think about that, I'll tell them. If they come here and they ask, if they don't ask me, I'm not going to tell them, because it's none of my
right.
business, and I support them in their choice. It's none of my
right.
business what they do.
Right, right. The expectation.
And I've seen many people that could get better die.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's their choice.
Yeah. It's just going on.
Yes,
that's other dimension.
We
yeah.
have to love people the way they are, not the way that you wish they were.
Yes.
That's not unconditional love.
Do you hear Yuli? He's panting.
Yes, I do. That's funny. My dog meditates. Does your dog meditate?
He loves to meditate. He loves it.
When we tone, Bub just goes right out on his back with his feet in the air.
Oh, that is so sweet.
He's really
so
funny.
So sweet.
I'll put pictures up on my Facebook page later of Bub and Lil at a seminar we had here. They just would go right out of their bodies and go to sleep on top of each other, on top of one of my poor, you know, clients that were sitting here.
Oh, I'll do that for you. I'll give you a picture of Ulysses just out, you know?
Yes. Because
he knows how to meditate. He knows how to meditate for sure. It's beautiful.
I have had
parents.
And I think
it helps their healing. It helps their healing.
When you're out of your physical body like that, your body gets a chance to just rest. When you're out of your mind like that. I used to do a seminar called I'm a Mindaholic. And I find very, very intelligent people almost more difficult to do healing work with because they're constantly in their mind.
Yes.
And when their mind's going like that, the crown chakra is whirring and preventing their spirit from coming into their body.
That makes sense.
Fortunately, if they're that smart, if you explain it to them, they get it. I love working with little kids because they're just like, they still believe in magic. It hasn't been beaten out of their psyches, you know?
Yes. Yes.
You know, let's lie down and talk to the angels. Okay. You know. And I every day I thank God that I had the death experience I had. Because it really literally changed my whole life in a way that I could never, ever have thought would happen.
Now, when did that happen for you? When did that happen? Do you remember? Exactly
the early
80s.
Oh, I remember exactly what happened.
Yes.
And there were a number of people there. The woman that taught at Harvard was there. There was a noted breatharian there, somebody who teaches about the breath and rebirthing and different breath patterns and yada, yada, Judith. And my husband was there, and there were a couple of other people there. And the things that make you conscious in 3D, like the feeling of, your butt's in the chair, your feet are on the floor, your ears are hearing my voice, you can see what you're looking at in front of you, you can hear your dog panting. All those things that anchor you in 3D went away. And the whole room went this gold color. And I don't remember walking down the hallway in my house, but I obviously walked down the hallway and laid down in the bed. And I do remember saying to Zoe, the one that taught at Harvard, don't touch me and don't call anybody. And I could feel my breath and I could feel my heart, and this is physiologically impossible, and you know this as a nurse. It just started to slow down very gracefully, gently, until it stopped. And then all of a sudden I wasn't in my body. Very disconcerting for a minute. And I thought, is this dead? Because this is weird. What is this? And then the angels were there and other beings were there, and they were speaking to me about, do you want to stay here? Do you want to go back? What is it that you want? I said, well, it seems like a terrible waste to go through all of this for nothing.
Yeah.
They said, well, that's your choice. And I said, well, I choose to go back and do whatever it is that God wants me to do. And I'm sure I'll find out soon enough what that is. And I said,
sooner
how do I
later.
Do that? How do I go back? They said, well, what's the color of will? And I said, red. And then the whole room, just like it went gold when I left my body, went red. And all of a sudden, I was aware of my breath and my pulse doing the same exact thing in reverse.
Oh.
And then in a few minutes, I opened my eyes, and Dr. Antonelli looked like she was going to fall on the floor. And I said, wow, I really don't want to talk about what just happened, but I feel really fine, and maybe we could talk about this some other time. I said, and how long was I gone? Because it felt like 3 or 4 minutes. I mean, it felt like a while.
Yes.
She said, do you see this look on my face, Dave? I said, yeah. She said, you were gone for 45 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
And I said, really? And at that point, I was kind of weirded out and really didn't want to discuss this. It felt so personal, Kate.
Yes.
And it was such an intense experience that I really didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want all the, well, what happened? What did you see? I didn't want any of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it probably took me a month before I really wanted to speak about it.
Yes.
And finally, I, you know, Zoe asked me, well, what happened? And I told her. She said, Ava, that's physiologically impossible. And I said, apparently not, because you stood there and watched me.
Did they feel your pulse and they realized that
no,
you
No, I told her not to touch me.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And I don't
yeah.
know why. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know why it happened to me, except I think I'm kind of the crash, you know, kind of like a mass unit for people who are going
mm-hmm.
through spiritual stuff. And somebody
mm-hmm.
has to go through it first in order to understand it. And if someone else is interested, then you can assist them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't talk about it much, and I don't talk about it with other people. I'm not closed about it, but I spent a lot of years explaining myself to people and got to a place where I kind of get sick of doing it.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel I need to explain myself to anyone, but I'm not embarrassed to tell you what happened. And
right.
then after that, it wasn't like I learned about crystals. It wasn't like I learned about toning or color. I remembered.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just know how to do this. And I never asked any questions about why am I doing this and what is that for and
sure,
how does
sure.
that do? And, you know, and finally, after a while, I started to understand the physics of it. And I definitely understand quite a bit of the physics of it now. But at
mm-hmm.
the time, I was just doing it intuitively. And the angel suggested and my spirit suggested that I not do this on other people until I did it on myself for a while because I need to understand what it does.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so that's what I did for 2 years. I took my brand new credit card in. I charged up $1,800 worth of crystals, had no idea what I was going to do with them, brought them home, and then started making grids with these things.
Grids?
And I now own probably 5,000 crystals. Which
it's
is
so
where
beautiful.
The jewelry making came into being.
Ah, okay.
Because
that's very cool.
I would say to somebody, well, rose quartz helps that, or malachite helps that, or lapis lazuli helps that. Well, I don't have one of those, Ava. Well, why don't we go buy a mess of beads and we'll make you something and then you have your treatment around your neck.
Mm-hmm.
And I firmly believe that's where jewelry came from.
Ah.
And so when
that
I'm making
sense.
This stuff, it's very pretty, but it does something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so when people come here, most of the people that come here to have jewelry made will just say to me, I have a $100 budget, make me something for whatever I need.
Oh, that's so cool. That's so cool.
Yeah. And when I make any artwork, I make gem elixirs for the colors. Now, a gem elixir is distilled water. And you put certain crystals in this distilled water, and you put it either in the sun or moon or both for certain cycles, sometimes more than one day, sometimes an hour. It doesn't really matter. You'll know when you get good at it, when to take it out of the window.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I paint, I drop that into the water I paint with.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm making green grass, I'll drop green elixir into the water so that everything vibrates in the painting.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing this for years and years and years and years. And I think that I don't know even the beginning of it.
Wow. That is so cool. Do you ever do public speaking?
Always.
Because you really have a wonderful way of imparting a message that people need to hear.
I used to do it all the time, Kate.
Mm-hmm.
And then I burned out for a while. I was seeing 50, 60, 70 people a week. We'd go to huge seminars with 800 people sitting there. And you facilitate this for 800 people, and then you go lie down for 4 hours.
Yes.
Because you literally get so charged up. Like, if I see 3 or 4 people in a day, I would prefer to see the sickest ones last.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm so charged up from doing it that they get more of an attunement at the end of the day. And I don't get tired. I get charged up.
Right, right.
And you don't want to overcharge your unit, your human hologram, because you can burn it out. It's like running 440 through a 110 wire.
Right.
You have to be careful what you're doing. I had friends, I have all these copper tools that I constructed, and I had friends who were helping me make them, because after a while I couldn't keep up with making them for the people that wanted them. I said, well, you need a business here, do this. And so he said, great, I'd love to do this. And then he decided that they should be sleeping in one of these icosahedrons. I said, oh, my God, I don't know if that's a good idea. I think that that's, like, because even after 35 years of doing this and having all these crystals in the house, I don't go in there any more than 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I like my human body. I don't want to burn it out.
So did he do it?
Oh, no, he kept doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And he got in a lot of trouble physically. Twitching stuff, like Charlie horse things. Like, you cannot run an excessive amount of electrical energy through your body.
Yes, that makes sense.
And it's like sticking your finger in a socket. It just isn't a really good idea.
No.
You know?
No.
And if you being too low or too high on energy is the same thing as boosting your immune system and being balanced. We're talking about the same exact thing.
Mm-hmm.
Your nerve endings. I just read an incredible article. You know how nerves don't really touch? They have synapses. They have spaces in between them. And
yes.
They know that acetylcholine, which is the chemical that's in between them, plays a part in how the electricity jumps. But you know what they've just found out?
No.
It's sound that bridges the gap.
That is a beautiful illustration of what everything you've been saying.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I read these things, did you know that the sun tones to the earth?
Well, I would imagine that it would. Yeah.
It physically does tone to the earth. It sends tonations in the form of, like, spinning spirals. And I really believe that is already, that the shift is already happening. And all these birds and animals dropping dead and stuff, if the geomagnetic ley lines of the earth are how the birds and the animals navigate, what happens when the north polarity and the south polarity start moving?
Right.
They're going to have a hard time.
Oh, that's a good point, too. Yeah.
But fish do that, too.
Yes. They do.
And when we started getting all this die-off, at first I was thinking, oh, my God, this must be from the Gulf.
Mm-hmm.
This, something's going on. This is bizarre. And after a while, people were like, Ava, you're really bumming me out putting this stuff up about the birds and the fish and everything. And I said, you don't find that fascinating? What do you think is happening? Come on, give me a break. You don't think this is happening to you, too?
Yeah.
How intense do you think this has to get before you start dropping dead?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. That's right.
And you'll see people who are out of balance will be much more out of balance. And the people who are in relative balance will have a harder time staying there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to see the extremes. People shooting Congress people. I mean, this stuff is going to pick up, and it has been. When I first had my walk-in experience, which was many moons ago in the beginning of the 80s, the angel said to me, there's going to come a time when insanity that used to happen once every 3 or 4 months is going to happen 6 and 7 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not in your spirit, and if you don't have faith, and if you're not grounded in your spirit, you're going to have a very difficult time living in that world. Because you're worried 24/7 about what's going on. Mm-hmm. I find it all fascinating. And worried about it? No. Because if something were going to happen to me, why would God spend 35 years telling me about it? Don't live under huge bodies of water. Don't live anywhere near the Great Lakes. Don't live near huge rivers. You'll see weather the likes of which you've never seen in your life. Storms the size of which will be the size of continents. And I thought this was all, like, kind of out there, Kate. I wasn't sure I was buying some of that. Well, here we are. And the more this started to happen, the more I would have friends calling me up going, oh, my God, that's what they said. That's what they,
Hello?
Yep. I'm here, Kate. Did you lose me?
I'm not sure if I lost her, Ava.
I'm here.
Are you there?
Okay. I'm here.
I think something kind of weird was happening there because your voice left.
Electromagnetics can do strange things, Kate.
I know. You were probably continuing to talk, but I thought maybe one of us got cut off, but we didn't, so that's cool.
No, and I have had weird computer things that happen around me. I've had weird phone things that happen around me. Because when your electromagnetics gets intense, it affects anything that's affected by electromagnetics.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a computer person?
I use it for my business, for my art business and my jewelry business, and I like Facebook, and I like being in contact with people, but the second my business is done, I prefer to shut it off.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very nice as a tool. I like it. But if I don't need to be using it, I'd prefer to be in painting an angel door topper, painting a painting, making some jewelry, walking my dog, being quiet, laying in my crystal grid downstairs in my office space. I mean, it's not something that I would choose to do 24/7. It would drive me out of my mind. But
oh,
it's
I
an extremely
so.
Useful tool.
Yes. I love it, actually, but I do also want to step aside and as you say, go out into nature and
hang out
with the beautiful. I live on a river, by the way, that it does flood. It does reflect a lot of the different things that are going on, but for some reason, I don't live on the floodplain. That floodplain is across the river. So we've seen so many interesting, wild things that happen with the river. And it is quite, well, take a look at my Facebook pictures sometime. Just look at those beautiful pictures of the river. It's just amazing.
Oh, I love water. Don't get me
yes.
wrong.
When I
go to the beach or if I go out, I like lakes better than ocean, but I love the ocean. And I would go down and put gem elixirs in there all the time because that will clean up the water. It will change the vibration of the water. And I prefer diamond water or rose quartz cluster water. One's for unconditional love, and the other one is for clarity and clean.
Mm-hmm.
Clean, clear balance. When we used to go in, we lived in Boston before we moved to Cape Cod, and we used to go into the aquarium, and they had a tank with the dolphins in it.
Mm-hmm.
My girlfriend worked there, and I used to love to go down there and just stand next to the dolphin tank and tone. And I would make these noises, and they'd all come over like, who is that? Who's this dolphin? Where did you come from, you know?
Oh, that's so cute.
It's very interesting. And they would come right over because they saw you as one of them. You obviously know something about them, or you wouldn't be making these sounds.
Yes.
And they'd come right over the side of the tank, and they'd stick their heads up. And it's a little scary when they're, like, bigger than you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
these things sticking their head up at you. And after a few minutes, I would kind of reach over. And they definitely have, like, a vibrational level that's above humans, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it really pisses me off when people go out killing whales and dolphins, and I just don't get that.
Oh, my gosh.
Makes me nauseous.
I know. Yeah. It is a little bit, this world sometimes is a little tough to take, isn't it?
I see it as there has to be balance, and there isn't balance.
Right, right.
Like, if you want to go out hunting and eat the food, I say you go right ahead and say prayers over that animal after you kill it and when you're eating it and thank it very much for its sacrifice, and that works for me.
Mm-hmm.
But do I want to go out and shoot animals and kill them? No. No, it doesn't work for me. But if that's something that you take joy in, whatever, I don't understand
right.
this.
Right, right.
It's not like karma.
Now, you are not, obviously, no longer a practicing nurse.
No, no.
And that's probably been a long time.
You
want
to know how I stopped nursing?
Yeah, I'd love to know.
I was an RN working at a multi-level nursing home, and
mm-hmm.
I'd had the job 3 years. They loved me. I loved them. I love elderly people. I consider
oh,
them
beautiful.
To have wisdom that is unbelievable.
Absolutely.
And I used to have so much fun with them. And I got called into the office, and the administrator said, Ava, you have to stop hugging people.
Oh.
I said, you're kidding.
Yeah, you're kidding, aren't you?
I used a few expletives. And I said, you're kidding me. And he said, I'm not kidding you. And I really thought he was kidding me.
Yeah.
He said, you have to stop doing that. I said, you want me to stop hugging people that don't have any visitors, that don't even get touched from year to year? You want me to stop hugging them? You're serious? He said, yes. And God is my witness, Kate, it was like somebody threw a switch in my head. I put the keys down. I said, here you go. The 4 and the 8s are poured. I'm out of here.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, that's really cool. What
that
a liberating thing. Yes.
That was
I love
it.
That.
That's
mm-hmm.
ridiculous. Everybody needs human touch. Everybody needs to have that. That's ridiculous.
Oh, it's so sad that somebody would actually believe that that would be a thing to tell somebody who's caring for people who need love.
Oh, if you'd been the administrator, you probably wouldn't have liked me because I was somebody that would come in and go, do we have to give this guy chloral hydrate? He hates it. He doesn't sleep right. He's an old Italian guy. Can't we just give him a glass of Chianti? That's all he wants. No.
Yeah,
why?
Yeah.
Why? Because we can't authorize liquor because who's going to pay for this? I'll buy the bottle.
Yes, yes.
No. And so this became like the mantra with me.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they have to
mm-hmm.
eat that crap? They don't. Why are you feeding them granola? I can't chew that. They don't even have teeth.
I love it.
And they would just like give me the face. And so after 3 years of nonsensical, total crap,
mm-hmm.
if this
mm-hmm.
were your mother or your grandmother, wouldn't you want someone to stand up and go, "What are you talking about?"
Oh my goodness, yes.
And I would hope someone would do it for me when I get to be an old bag, when I get to be 59. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't just take it because somebody tells you that you're supposed to be doing that. When my mother got Alzheimer's, she was on 18 different medications.
Right.
Falling on her face, busting her lip. I said to the doctor, excuse me, I had her healthcare proxy. I said, she's coming off all this crap. Every bit of it, all of it,
mm-hmm.
never fell down again.
Well, this is interesting. I had an RN talk to me recently, a patient of mine, actually. She said that, and she works with the elderly. She told me that, of course, the elderly are over-medicated, and that's just so sad. It's just a travesty, really. And when they go into hospice and they're dying and they take them off medicine, so many times they'll perk right up and live for several more years.
Duh.
Love that. Don't you just
Hello?
Love that? Yeah, I just
See,
think.
The way medicine is now is medicine is the first thing they want to do. They don't want to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
My girlfriend was depressed. She said, I'm going in to talk to the doctor. They put her on that Chantix stuff to get off cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it didn't get her off cigarettes, and it made her suicidal. So she said to me, I can't stand this. I think I'm going to, I really feel suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, that's not good. Why don't you come over? So she came over. She's 20 minutes away, and she's telling me about how she never felt like this in her life, blah, 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 the drugs and it. I said, if you go to the doctor, I can tell you exactly what they're going to do. Within 3 minutes, they're not even going to know your last name. They're going to want to put you on Prozac or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what happened. She called me driving home from the doctor's, hysterical crying. I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, I do. We're going to go see Jerry Cantor up in Wellesley, and he's going to fix you up. He's a homeopathist. Well, I've known this person for 40 years. Okay, Abe, I'm there. We drive up. He gives her one session, one treatment and one remedy, and within 25 days, she was right back
beautiful.
Where she used to be.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's
you know,
it's amazing.
It's ridiculous.
It
chemical
is amazing.
Restraint, Kate.
Yeah, I mean, I believe that nurses are healers, and I believe that every nurse who goes into the profession really, at the heart of it all, is a healer, yet at the same time, they have no concept. They are taken away from their healing abilities, maybe at the very beginning, that's why they entered the profession, and suddenly all of that has been bled out of them, really, and they are into administering medications and trying to make sure that they... And they burn out somehow.
That's all
a
I
big
did
burn.
Was poor
burnout
drugs.
Profession. Yeah, yeah.
Did it ever dawn on you? You know, they would say things like, that patient needs to go in and have surgery and have that bed sore, you know, take that dead stuff out of there. I said, I can get rid of that. You don't need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get rid of it. And all these old nurses had all these wonderful remedies and things. The doctors don't want to use them.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I got better from Crohn's, I said to my practitioner, do you want to know how I did this? No.
Oh, that's
because
sad.
Because they're not covered for that. Their insurance won't cover them for anything that's outside normal parameters of what they're supposed to do.
Yes.
They don't want to know.
We were going to teach a class for nurses on how to administer massage for laboring patients, and you would think that that would be the perfect, certainly a natural progression as to what we should be doing for our patients who are laboring and about to have a baby. But the administration wouldn't pay for it, and they just basically said, well, that's a, I don't know why exactly. And we don't really care if they pay for it or not. We're trying to do it anyway.
I think this stuff scares a lot of people. I think that there are certain clients that come here, and when they realize how much I know about them without even having to ask, it makes them very uneasy.
Right.
How do you know that? How do I know anything? How do you know that? How do you know your name? If I ask you what your name is, do you know what your name is? Yes. You know your name is Mary, right? Yeah. That's how I know. I just know.
Yeah. Right.
And then it becomes, is it proof you're doing or truth you're doing? And I'm not interested in proving anything. I don't care if anybody listening believes anything I say. It does not matter to me. This is my reality. If you get something out of this, great. If you don't, fine. I don't care.
Proof is very counterintuitive.
That I loved. That used to ask me to come to firewalks. He did firewalks, and I loved this person. And he used to say to me, why don't you want to do that? I said, because it's always about proof with you and about me. With me, it's truth. I don't need
proof
to walk the fire to know.
Mm-hmm.
And he would laugh because he loved me.
Yes. I like that, proof versus truth.
Yeah, and, you know, if people vibrate with truth, you don't need to prove anything to them. They get the truth when they feel it.
Mm-hmm,
and if they don't vibrate with truth, there isn't a thing you can tell them. They don't get it. They don't get the truth. They don't vibrate with the truth. There's nothing you can say to them to make them think it's the truth. And why would you bother anyway?
It's a very hard road to travel when you're just constantly trying to prove something to people. It's just not fun. It's not fun at all.
Exactly. I mean, I loved Dr. Zoe from Harvard, but all she and her physicist friends and all these medical people wanted to know is, how do you know you're doing the right thing? And we're back to saying, I know.
Yes.
Well, can you teach it? Yes, I can. Then it's a science. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's where physics meets spirituality.
Yes, and physics, the explanation for physics is very spiritual.
Hello.
Very multidimensional. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
And we used to have a wonderful time. I did one seminar, and we used to call it Angel Boot Camp. And we would get all dressed up in white, and we had white caps that had wings on them.
Oh.
And we would sing, we're the angels of the Lord, 1, 2, 3, 4. Don't hang with us if you're just bored, 5, 6, 7, 8. We can work your kinks right out. And there were people that for years would come up and sing the Angel Boot Camp song to me. And I would just laugh. I'm like, well, I hope they remembered something beside that.
Yes.
But
well,
I trust
but there's a lot
no
of
matter
fun
what
there.
They get what they're supposed to get.
Yeah, sometimes that kind of ditty or whatever is it creates a lot of mirth, you know, a lot of laughter and mirth and just a joviality that people, we all need.
If you ain't laughing, you're not in your spirit.
Yes.
Spirit,
so true.
Definitely, definitely, definitely loves to laugh. Loves to laugh. Loves to joke. Loves to have a good time. I stopped doing big things because I felt that they were, you couldn't get the one-on-one you could get if you had 20 or 30 people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went to doing what we called intensives. And we'd get 20, 30, maybe 40 people. We'd all hang out. We would have the best times laughing, telling jokes. Because laughter is one of the main ways to get to your spirit. You can get there from there. And if you're too serious and you're walking around trying all the time to be spiritual, you ain't there. You're not getting
it. No. Oh, my gosh, no. It's so
fun
true.
Is the name of the game.
Yeah.
If you ask anybody that comes here, they'll tell you it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because I used to have all these fancy offices. Like, I had this big office in Austerville in this really prissy place, and I don't know what the hell I did that for, Kate, but I guess I felt like my home was kind of my sanctuary, and I wanted to see clients in a different place than my home. Well, through a series of odd occurrences, I ended up leaving there. I just didn't like it, if you want to know the truth. And I came back into my cellar and started doing treatments again. And all my clients would come over and go, oh, I'm so glad that we don't go there anymore. I just like your cellar, and we have cups of tea, and we laugh. And that's what it's about.
Yes, it is. Very healing. Tremendous healing.
Hugs, love, laughing. And, you know, and anybody that comes here also knows, like, don't ask me a question if you don't want to hear the answer.
Right. That's true.
Don't ask
that's,
me
that's
anything
good.
If you don't want to hear the truth, because I'm going to tell you, and you might not like it. Because I can become the Antichrist really fast when people don't like what I'm saying of them.
Yeah.
So don't ask me.
Right. Yes, it's a waste of time, isn't it, if they don't really want to hear the truth.
What are you paying me money for if you're going to come here to hear what you want to hear? You came here to get balanced. If there's stuff I see you doing and you're saying to me, what am I doing that's impeding my progress, and I tell you, and then you get pissed off, I mean, that's ridiculous. And generally, the more pissed off they are, the more I know I was right on the money.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, we used to say in the AA that when this was years ago when people were smoking in the meetings, that when people would break an ashtray and laugh, everybody would laugh hysterically for no reason. And then you knew that recovery was happening.
Yes. Yeah,
and recovery
is a very good thing.
Yeah, recovery is directly linked to laughter.
Yes.
Of any
one
kind
of the
recovery.
Sounds,
yeah.
There's sacred sounds, and one of them is the ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha sound.
Yeah,
it actually
absolutely.
Moves kidney energy.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're
mm-hmm.
sitting there doing that, you're adjusting yourself.
Oh, yes. And that
see, I have issues with the recovery thing because I think that they need to address obsessive-compulsive stuff, not just drinking.
Well, that's so true. And there's a lot to let's face it, recovery is something that spans the whole life. It's not just addiction. Recovery from the medical profession is something that I'm fond of saying because, or even recovery from Catholicism or recovery from organized religion. Would
are
be
you
another
a recovering
one that,
Catholic?
No, but my mother was. And, and that was good enough for me.
You know, I have no problems with religion if they're working for somebody. But I find religion a lot of the times is think the way I think, do what I do, and don't question me. Because if you
yeah.
do, you're not living in faith.
I know.
Like I get
I know.
To ask questions. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So I have a problem personally with being in a religion because I feel like God's my religion.
Yeah.
I don't need anybody to tell me how to talk to my father or my mother.
Oh, absolutely. And I do.
I don't need to
I
go to
love,
a building.
I do love the goddess and the beautiful Blessed Mother of the Roman Catholic Church.
I'm with
something
that.
Something like that. Yeah.
Most definitely. I think the mother's almost been pushed right out of the church.
Yes.
There's
absolutely
not a lot
true.
Of churches that worship the mother. It's one of the things that I honor the most because the mother is the bottom four chakras.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how do you exist without your emotions? How do you exist without your will? How do you exist without feeling? I can't. I mean, if you can, great. It's a good trick. I wish you'd tell me how. No, I don't want
well,
that. I don't want to be like that. I want to be like I am.
Yeah, you know, that's why it's so difficult to go into the hospital and work, which I have been doing for the last 7 years, because it's difficult because of the attitude of I don't know what it is. I think it's,
I'm not
it's
a follower, Kate.
Yeah, it's a lack of feeling,
following.
A lack of love, and those things are recovery issues, in my opinion.
Although I think there's plenty of spiritual Catholics, plenty of spiritual Buddhists. And like everything else, it depends on the person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because there are loads of people. I have an aunt who's one of the most spiritual people I've ever met in my life, and she's a Catholic. But
mm-hmm.
if you ask her, do you follow, she'd say no.
Right. I'm
she'd
sure.
Say, I don't need to go to a building aid. I don't need anybody to tell me how to worship God.
Yes. The most spiritual Catholics in the world believe in the saints, and they believe in the Holy Mother.
Oh, yes. Yes. And I find there's basic truth in all religions. And I don't know how it got, like, all crapped up the way it did, but whatever.
Yeah.
You have to think for yourself. I mean, if you can't think for yourself, if you follow, the angels say, there used to be sheep, and there used to be shepherds. And after the shift, there'll be only shepherds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I don't think I even understood that for a while, but I get it now.
Yeah, I do too. I get it.
I get it.
Well, believe
it
or not,
we've
come to the end of our 90-minute session. It was really very delightful.
Oh, my, delightful.
I know. It was like timelessness.
Well, listen, I will say this then.
That's the dolphin in you.
That's goodbye in spirit language.
Well, thank you. And I'm going to be playing.
You,
Kate. I love you.
Thanks for having me, honey.
You know what? Stay in touch. And I'll
absolutely.
Put this. I'll put the rerun of the show on your Facebook page.
Sure, that'd be fun. And if anybody has questions or if anybody has comments, they're more than welcome to send them my way. But just remember, I may or may not have time to answer them all.
Well, I'm going to be playing the music for Mother and Child, an extended version. And good night to you and love to
you.
God
bless you, honey,
wonderful.
And hug Ulysses for me.
I will. Thank you.
Bye, Annie.
Bye-bye.